Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Proverbs 18, you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So once you get somebody offended, no wonder this series is going to take 3 months. Amen. Let's pray about what we've read. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we do acknowledge him right now as our teacher and as our leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for those that would be under the sound of my voice at this precise moment, for those that be here in this assembly, for those that will listen or watch through media. Father, I pray that you would bless their hearing, that your people would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and all spiritual understanding. Father, I ask now that you speak through me the words that you would have spoken, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might sketch on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. It seems like every time I sit down to go over my scriptures and notes for this series, I see more that I need to deal with. And I keep thinking I'm going to wrap this thing up. Now I don't know when I'm going to wrap it up. But I thought next Sunday we would begin a new series called The Husbandman. And ladies are like, yes, I've been praying that my man will get a word from Jesus. What you're going to find out in this upcoming series, The Husbandman, is that this actually relates to everybody, male and female, when you understand what the word means. And so we're going to get into a deep teaching that's going to be directed at men, but women will glean from it. And then we're going to come behind that with a series that'll help our ladies. Amen. But I want to help everybody right now and knock out this issue with offense. And there's something I've been wanting to deal with that I want to talk about at the beginning of this message. We may make some transition here because we need to talk a lot about marriage.
Amen.
Amen. And but there's something here I've been wanting to deal with. It's called the stronghold of offense. The stronghold of offense. And I get that here from Proverbs 18 and 19, where the word says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. That's if you have personally offended someone, that someone offended at the church in at large or a general assembly, someone offended at the preacher, someone offended at you. The Bible says that individual is harder to be won than a strong city. And we've talked about the reason why. And if you go back and listen to the earlier parts of this series, you'll see that, number one, an offended person is very easy to deceive. And when you are offended, you lose the revelation of an individual and things that you know to be true. Like John the Baptist, when he got offended at Jesus, he's now sending his disciples and asking, is Jesus the Messiah? Well, you know he's the Messiah, but all because you got offended, now he's not who you know him to be. And so when we get offended at people, we change our idea of them. Who they are in our mind changes, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they've changed. It's just our view of them has changed. And this is an acid that will destroy marriage when you have offense setting inside the marriage, when you get offended at one another in your relationship, not just, you know, church and on the job, but at home. And so the word says a person offended, they're harder to be won than a strong city. So look at the comparison that's being made here. The one that's offended is harder to be won than the strong city. Real quickly, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. So it's no easy thing winning someone back that you have offended. And so, you know, the preventative measure is the best measure. But in some cases, I know it's too late to prevent it because there's already some offense that set in. And the keys to breaking the stronghold of offense is, number one, forgiving. Amen. Get last week's message. Jesus said, if you won't forgive your brother, my Father won't forgive you. That is a heavy statement. I've got some things I need to be forgiven of. Matter of fact, I got some thing I needs to be forgiven of. When you pluralize something that's not supposed to be plural, that's great emphasis. So I'm not going to have my forgiveness held back because I won't forgive you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you're there, say amen. Amen. Now watch this in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now some of us have done that back in the day. We got all fleshy and made it physical when it wasn't. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are fleshy, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now what is a stronghold? Let me give you the Greek and Hebrew and English definition of a stronghold. It's a strong hold. It's when something has a very strong hold on your mind. I'm going to break it down. It's a strong hold. And some of us have some strong holds when it comes to offense. So that the stronghold in the city would be, you know, the gate, the gate, that's the entrance. That's the where everything that is filtered that would come into the city and that would go out of the city, the strength of the city would be based on the gate of the city. And does that gate have a stronghold? Is that city easily penetrated? And so you may remember in the Gatekeeper series, we talked about the gates and that if you don't keep the gates, then the enemy gets in. The gates is where everything is controlled that comes in and goes out. That's the gate of the city, of a traditional city that had a stronghold protecting that city. That city's only as strong as its gates. And so our lives are only as strong as our gates. It's only as strong as what we allow in and what comes out of our life. That's where the strength of our life exists. So if the enemy can set an offense that becomes a stronghold, then you will end up filtering everything that comes into your life through that stronghold of offense, and then everything that goes back out of your life has to go through that stronghold of offense as well. And so you got offended at a man that really hurt you. And so you're not just bitter at that man, you now are bitter at men. And men in your life that you work with, what have you. I mean, everybody's wondering, like, what happened to her? And you're just mad at the species of man. Because that one man has gotten you so offended that you blame an entire gender on that one man. And now every time a man says anything, you filter what he says through that offense you have for someone else. And then the way you interact with men is based on that offense that you have with someone else. Now, believe it or not, this is a common thing, but it's more common when you think about prejudices. Y'all got quiet. It's okay. This is an open platform here. We have a candid and pure forum, and that's why this church is built up in the way we have, because we're real about it. But if you hold resentment toward, we call it race, but there's only one race, it's the human race. But if you hold resentment toward an ethnicity, a skin color, then you blame everybody of that color and you hold an offense toward everybody of that color, whether it's white or black, then now that racist mindset, that prejudice mindset is controlling the way you perceive anyone of that color. And that is prejudice, because you're now prejudging a person by what they look like based on history, based on some experience you had with someone else. But now that's a stronghold, because now it's filtering everything. If you have an issue, and I'm speaking real, if you've got an issue with black people, and then a black person comes in for the interview, and you already think in your mind, oh, they're not going to get the job, that's racism. That's a prejudice, where you're now judging that person's character by the color of their skin. And it goes the same way if you look at a man that's preaching that's white, and you say, I can never listen to that. Well, you don't know me yet. I can't be defined by this. So this is what goes on in our society, and it is an offense that's become a stronghold, and it says everything you think about people or that person has got to be filtered through this stronghold of offense. Yeah. That's why your child comes home, and he's had time with his daddy, and he had a great weekend with his daddy, and he came on, he's telling you how awesome it was, but you're still mad at his daddy, and then you come back with something negative, say, well, I'm glad he bought you a basketball, because he sure ain't sent your mama no money in 3 months. You can't even receive that your son had a great time with his father, which he needs, because you're so offended, you can't see anything but that offense. So you filter even the new basketball he bought through that offense. Well, I'm preaching now. You say, what do I do about that? You have to forgive. Well, I may forgive, Pastor, but I'm sure not going to forget. Okay, that's you and Jesus, Bobby Brown. I'm just telling you what Bobby Brown sung a song called Your Prerogative, in case you want to know who Bobby Brown. Who is Bobby Brown? He's Conway Twitty's third cousin. But anyway. Anyway, let's get back to the word here. But the problem with us being offended, especially in our marriage, is that now everything gets filtered through that stronghold. Everything gets filtered through that stronghold. And so that stronghold has got to come down. And here's the thing. It's almost, I want you to imagine, if you can get a picture of this, it'll change your life. I want you to imagine that there's a stronghold in your life. Walls around your personal life. The most important part of your life, your heart, your mind. So you've got these walls around your heart. If you've ever been hurt, you know what it's like. You put these walls up, and then you're very careful about who you let in your heart again, because the last person you let in your heart did some damage. So the walls got a little strong. Remember that first pain you ever felt, that first breakup, that first heartache. I wish I could sing, man. I'd come into a song right now, you know. I mean, I would break into a key sweat, want to go outside in the rain. In the rain. Why? Because I don't want you to see me cry. Don't make me start up in here. Woo! Man, if I could, see, the Lord knew what I would do if I could sing. That's why he didn't bless me to sing. Because I would break out right now. Don't want you to see me cry. And if her name was Mary, Mary go round. But you know that once you've been hurt, once you've been damaged, now there's such sensitivity that you construct these walls that now make it harder to get in your heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Just lift your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, now everybody in here, praise the Lord. Even the third grader said, yeah, me too. It can happen in the third grade. First time I kissed a girl was in the third grade. Look out now, Lord. I shouldn't let that out. Glad Chrissy ain't here. Now watch this. We build these strongholds, and these strongholds, we still let people in our life, but they have to come through the stronghold. That everything they say and do has to be filtered. And so when a person has offended you, it's like they've got to re-earn access. And so we determine what they must do to get back in. Until then, all they get is a wall. Our hand. But they don't get back in until they meet something that we've already established that would give them access. And then sometimes we've established these walls where we say, you know what? You're denied entry. You don't get to come back in my life. I'm offended at you, and you're not coming back in. Or in other cases, you know, we've set up these parameters and then we decide what will allow them. It's almost like this: if you have offended me, then you owe me something. And so I won't let you back in without payment. Come on, there's some good stuff up in here. You've offended me. I got a wall set up. There's an access point. You can get back in, but not without payment. Because you damaged me, you're going to have to pay to get back in my life. Am I talking to anybody? That's a stronghold. Now, what if God would have done us like that? Ooh. You say, but Pastor, this person hurt me. They offended me. Why should I let them back? To have back in my life. And I ain't saying it got to be back in a relationship. And I ain't talking about, listen, you and Jesus work all that out. I'm talking about you harboring unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart to someone. That's really what we're going to talk about today, is bitterness. Because all bitterness is, let me go back up to offense, because there's two things you ought to get in this series. Number one is that offense is when my expectations were not met. You did not meet my expectations. I'm offended at you because you either didn't meet what I would have expected and had the right to expect. I had the right for you to expect you to come home and you didn't come home. I had the right to expect this and you did not meet my expectations, so I'm offended. So that's offense. That's the very root of it, is you didn't meet my expectations. Now, that leads to bitterness. Offense sets in, then you're bitter. And all bitterness is that I hold this feeling of unresolved judgment, unfulfilled punishment, unfulfilled judgment. So offense, unfulfilled expectation; bitterness, unfulfilled judgment. I'm gonna remain bitter until I feel like you got what you deserved. Come on, somebody. And so now when we have these walls set up in our life and we feel like, you know, there's an, you know, some we're going to deny access, others will let in. But if they owe us something, they're denied access until they pay their debt. You ever had somebody owe you some money? Boy, look at y'all now. I done resurfaced an old wound. You know how you act at the family gathering because your cousin still owes you $20 from the last time you saw? And you don't even want to go to the gathering. You tell your wife, no, I'm not going because he's going to be there. And you know he don't ever pay his bills. And he lied to me and he took my $20 and he never did show back up. And I ain't going to talk about what happened when he borrowed my power washer and never got that back. And so now you don't want to go to the family gathering because this guy owes you something. And you don't even want to be around him. Why are y'all so quiet? Is the guy here? Now let me really break down what I'm talking about here. If you would turn over to the book of Acts, I want to show you how this really works. Go over. I'm sorry, Psalms. I don't even know why I said Acts. I guess because of the way we acted. But go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms, the 35th division. I know this is not easy. I know this is not something that you felt like, man, I should have not spent that extra 30 minutes getting dressed this morning. I could have worn my windsuit up in here to hear this. I got dressed up to hear this. Yes, yes, yes. Because this is culture. This is the culture of the kingdom. This is stuff that's going to get results. Because the problem is that you've been living in bitterness and unforgiveness, thinking you're free when you're not. Because there's a stronghold that the enemy has on you, and you're not enjoying your life because of this thing. And I'm trying to show you how to be free. Whether that person that offended you ever gets free or not, you ought to be free. In other words, it shouldn't be you that's dreading going to the family gathering because that guy owes you money. You ought to be free to walk in there and be free of it. He should be the one that's bothered saying, I can't go see that guy because I owe him money. It shouldn't be you. So you walk in, you act just the same. Why? Because you're bigger than that. And you're not going to let that thing offend you and then bitterness in, and then you up all in the night wondering why that guy didn't give you $20 when he ain't even thinking about you. Who's suffering here? You're suffering the financial loss and the mental loss because you're offended. Well, Pastor, I am offended. He owes me money. I didn't say you weren't, but who's in bondage here? There are some people that have hurt you in your own life. and they're out living their life, and you're still living consumed with paying them back. And they don't even care nothing about you. They're not even friends with you on Facebook. They defriended you, ever how that works, I don't know. But they could care less about you, but you still live every day consumed with them. She's gonna break up with me. She broke up with me. And you know that guy she's with don't even have a job. That guy she's with now don't even have a job. Now you got a good job, no one bought a new car. And you're driving all around the city hoping she sees you. I hope she sees me. I hope it's 103 degrees outside and you got the windows down. I hope she sees you. She don't care nothing about you and your new car. You're thinking if she saw you in that new car and she got this deadbeat man that won't work, then all of a sudden she's going to feel bad. That, oh, why did I ever break up with him? She don't care. She didn't like you. It's over. You just need to wake up and say, I'm going to live free of this. Quit trying to show her your new car. And don't dare get in a new relationship. Because that if you're in a new relationship, your girlfriend, fiance, whoever doesn't want to be drug all over town so your ex can see her. Because if you're still that invested in your ex that you've got to show her the new girl, then you ain't that invested in the new girl because you still got a stronghold with the old one. Oh, I'm preaching now. My God. Hold on a minute. Amen. Hey, girl, you know that dress that you wear sometimes that I've been really commenting on? Could you wear that tonight? Yeah, baby, I'll wear it for you tonight, and then you go to the place that you think she works. See, y'all gonna act like this stuff don't happen. Little old adolescent immaturity, like somebody hanging out at the wrong locker talking to somebody else when you know that's that other girl's locker. Yeah. Oh, excuse me, I didn't realize we were in front of your locker. Come here, baby, let's ease over here. Wait a minute, you only reason you're at that locker is that you want that girl that wouldn't give you the time of day to see that somebody else will. So who's in bondage here? You. That person has moved on, you're still stuck. I mean, you're walking around, you're pulling up pictures and look what he put on Facebook. Just look. Can you believe that? And look at who he's with. Now, come on. Where in the world did she come from? Do you know that's been 3 years now and you still following him on Facebook? You got pictures of him on the phone, on your phone, investing time, laying up in bed at night thinking about that, how he hurt you and how he did it. You must forgive and forget and move on. This thing has a strong hold on you, and it's stripping you from the abundant life. And I am talking to somebody in here because I didn't know I was going to go here. Let it go. Psalms 35, you there, say amen. Verse number 11. Watch this. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Now, false witness is not the same as lying. But the Ten Commandments tell us do not bear false witness. To be a false witness means you repeat something as fact that you didn't personally see or hear. In other words, if you couldn't be called into the court of law to testify of what you're getting ready to say, then you don't need to be sharing with somebody else. I mean, can you imagine getting before the judge and then the cross-examination comes and they say, excuse me, sir, where did you hear this? My cousin told me. Wait a minute, you didn't hear it? No, sir. You didn't see it? No, sir. But my cousin ain't never told me a lie. And he heard it from his neighbor. And I know it's true because his neighbor don't lie either. Wait a minute, you're a false witness. That's what it means to be a false witness. A false witness is one that did not see it and did not personally hear it. And I really believe that's a commandment that society breaks every day. Because we repeat stuff that we didn't actually see. We covered up with, I'm only telling you this so you know how to pray, but I heard. You're a false witness. So false witnesses rise up. They repeat things that they heard. And David is saying here, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. Because you know once something gets repeated, it's exaggerated. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Now that would cause a person to be offended. But watch this. Read the next four words up to the comma, in case it's too early to count, in verse 13. Ready? Read. But as for me. Now read that again. But as for me. What he's saying here is that that's what they did, but as for me. Don't fight fire with fire. Fight fire with water. Don't fight cursing with cursing. Fight cursing with blessing. You don't fight bitterness with bitterness. You fight bitterness with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Read the Sermon on the Mount. So he says, but as for me. That's what they were doing, but he says, as for me. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. See that? Listen, you've got to stop worrying about what other people are doing and just live with this slogan, but as for me. You said, but Pastor, they said this. I know they said it, but as for me. Well, they're now going around doing, but as for me. I got a conviction many years ago, not a citation or prison time. I got a conviction in my heart. Got to clarify that these days. Because false witnesses will take that and say, your pastor talked about that conviction. I'm going to Google that and find out what that was. There is none. But I got a spiritual conviction in my heart years ago, this statement. A man that defends himself will always be average. And it's a conviction of mine not to defend myself. Even this week, I was forming an email, and I noticed there was some defense in that email. And I said, I went to lead of the line. Holy Spirit, convict me. I get that out of there. I was like, yep, you're right. I will not live in defense of myself. I am not my defense. Jesus is my defense. I let my life be my defense. I let my actions every day be my defense. My life is my defense. The Holy Spirit is the witness to my life, and I am not going to walk in defense. A man that defends himself will always be average. If you walk around defending yourself all the time, you'll never go above average. So you've got to live with this, but as for me, don't worry about defending yourself. Your life defends yourself. Jesus defends you. The pattern of your behavior is enough defense. Just because someone poisoned you with slander doesn't mean you need to go poison them with slander. Let your life speak for itself. But they're saying bad things. The folk that hear that will have enough discernment to look at you and your character and look at them and their character and be able to make a decision. Okay, something ain't adding up here. I'm not about to defend all the stuff that's said about me. Why would I get in the pulpit and defend James McManus? Then only those that really loved me and were loyal to me would hang around and hear that. And don't nobody need to hear that. I'm going to preach Jesus and let my actions, my pastoring, my life defend itself. All them folk to get in the pulpit and talk about me, folk going to get tired of going to church hearing about me. So they're going to leave that church. They're going to come with and hear about Jesus. They'll end up right here. So you know what? Hey, keep talking. I'm not going to get caught up in all of that. But as for me, you have to live with that mindset. But as for me, I'm going to conduct myself by the word of God. I'm not going to let that person get in my head, have a stronghold, keep me up at night, you know, living in anxiety over someone that's out there being a fool. But as for me. And then someone asks about you about them and you say, oh, I have forgiven them and I am totally free. But see, if you really are, then you don't come back. I'm free of what he said about me. And I'm free and have forgiven all that he did. And did I tell you what he did last?
No.
The pure fact that you've opened this up and going down this road tells me you're not free. Bitterness is a poison. And we think that the person we're bitter at is being hurt. But we're the one hurt. We're the ones in bondage. We are the ones entrapped, living in bitterness, thinking that we are punishing those that have offended us. But if they didn't care enough to hurt you that way anyway, they don't care that you're bitter right now. So who's actually getting hurt in this? You are. But as for me, live free. Let's go to the book of Acts. I now know why I said Acts. There's something here I want to show you. The book of Acts, I want to go to the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. You know what? I know we may not be shouting and hopping pews, but this really is something we can take home and actually use. Hallelujah. I love it when a word comes forward that I know is relevant and that I know I can leave here and apply. Hallelujah. Even the lights got excited about that right now. This is, whoo, Jesus. Acts chapter 8, you there, say amen. Amen. I've read this all my Christian life. Well, whenever it was, I read it after I became a Christian, but a long time. Good 4 or 5 years now. And I never really understood this, and I really feel like recently I saw it in a different light. And you may not see it in the light I'm going to share it, but that's okay, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you like he speaks to me, and you can see it, and the Holy Spirit will show it to you in a way, and he may show it to me differently. But let me just show you something here. Here's Peter and John, and they've gone about preaching, and individuals have been saved, and they've received the Holy Spirit. And watch what happened, verse 18, Acts 8, verse 18. And when I first read this, you may not see it, but just stay with me. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." So he offered money to have that kind of power, that I can just lay hands on somebody and they receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee. Thy money perish with thee." So this man's lost. You're going to perish with this mindset. "So thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And there are folk on TV that actually preach this. "You send me $20 and all this garbage." Verse 21. "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the fault of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive," now watch this in verse 23, what don't you see? "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bondage, stronghold of iniquity." Now, I've read that for years, and I never really put it together, that why is this man in the gall of bitterness, and what does that have to do with him wanting to buy power? He's in the gall of bitterness. What would that have to do with him wanting to buy power? And this is just a thought I had, and you can take it or leave it. Perhaps there's some individuals in that community, that society, that he is offended by. And now if he can walk out in this great power, he can show himself to be something. I think it's more to it than him making money off of that. I always read that and said, okay, he wanted that so he could make money off of it. He could offer it. He'd spend money to get the power, and then he'd offer it for money too. But that still doesn't explain why he's bitter. It doesn't explain the gall, poison of bitterness that Peter said, "I perceive is in you." And this is what hit me. And I wrote it down to make sure I wouldn't forget. He had a false motive for power. He had a false motive for power. And here's what I wrote. Don't seek out those you're bitter at to show them your success. See, sometimes even in church and in business and even in relationships, we want power and success for no pure motive other than to show someone that we're offended at that we're better, stronger, greater, or more successful than them. If you're offended at your neighbor, then all of a sudden you can't keep up with your neighbor because you're going to make your grass, you're going to make sure it's greener than theirs and your hedges are tighter trimmed than theirs because they offended you some time back, so you're not about to let them look more successful than you. Your car is going to stay cleaner than theirs. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching. But what's the motive for you wanting to be empowered and blessed and prosperous is that you want to show somebody else up. That stuff can't exist in church. The motivation for church growth and souls being saved and new facilities and growth cannot be that I'm in a competition with someone down the road to show them I can do bigger and better than that. The ministry is not a competition. It's ministry. It has nothing to do with competition. But sometimes we have a bad motive that's really just rooted in bitterness. We're just bitter at people. And so we've got to succeed to show them something, to punish them, as if it's going to punish them if they see you succeed. That's bitterness. And what it'll do is if you did prosper, you won't even enjoy it. You won't enjoy it unless you know it's done some kind of damage to those that you're offended at. And that's an impure motive to be led by and to live by. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Now, let's go back to the book of Job. The book of Job, I want to go to the 7th chapter. And Job is right in front of Psalms. So if you can find Psalms, you can find Job. Job, the 7th chapter. I, to borrow Peter's words, I perceive that there are a lot of people here and watching live or by television that are in the gall of bitterness. There's just this poison that's in your system that you may not even know it's there, and you need to get it out. It's in there. It's like, you know how you go on a cleanse? Okay, maybe that's the wrong congregation, but you know how some folk go on a cleanse? I mean, they drink water and lemon, and then they may only have a yogurt for breakfast, and they eat their main small meal at lunch and nothing for supper except maybe fruit. Y'all know nothing about that? Okay, well, supposedly it's good for you anyway. You don't eat anything at all or drink anything 4 hours before bedtime. And, yeah, so your body can purge itself and get clean. Okay, anyway, it's something you want to look into. But anyway. Supposedly it rids your body of toxins and stuff that may be set in. Well, I really believe that there's this spiritual cleansing that we need, and perhaps we need to fast. Read Isaiah 58, because a fast that God ordains is one that breaks the bands of wickedness. So if there's a stronghold of offense or bitterness in you, a fast might be needed to break it. But I really believe that there's some bitterness that we're holding toward people and they're living free and we're still going to bed at night mad. And my intent in this message today is that you be free of this. You stop driving around the city hoping somebody sees you in your new suit or making sure they know that you got a better job. Get over it. Would you please live by but ask for me and quit worrying about everybody else's perception of you? Amen? All right, Job 7, you there, say amen. Watch this in verse number 11. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now, none of this is right, but notice this is what comes out of a person that is bitter. You'll hear it in their mouth, the anguish that's in their spirit, and the complaint that comes out of a bitter soul. There are a lot of bitter people in this world. We're bitter at our boss. We're bitter at the supervisor. We're bitter at a coworker. We're bitter at a church member. We're bitter at a family member. We're bitter at our spouse. We're getting bitter at our kids because he didn't give us more than that on Mother's Day. And we just walk around bitter all the time. We've got to loose the bands of bitterness. The only person that's being hurt is us. Amen. They're living free. And, you know, I heard the Lord tell me this one time, and I have not forgotten it. It's that there's some people in our lives I really believe God won't deal with because we won't stop dealing with. I mean, imagine right now in your marriage that, yes, your spouse, true enough, is giving you the wrong attitude or whatever. And you're walking around in bitterness and offense and an attitude. And imagine God saying to you, if you would forgive them and treat them like you're supposed to treat them, but as for me, I'll convict them. I'll straighten them out. They'll come back to you and be changed, but I'm not going to get involved because you ain't doing right either. But Lord, she's the one that did. I can handle her, but I can't handle her when her head is all messed up. So if you're going to invite God in into your marriage to straighten things out, don't you want to be right when he shows up? Then you need to do what you're supposed to be doing as a husband or as a wife, and then by your correct behavior, conviction can come upon them. But as long as the both of you are operating in your bitterness, then it's just a war that's going to go back and forth to years and years and years and years until it leads to a separation, maybe a divorce, which is not the will of God, but it'll go there all because you wouldn't let something go. You wouldn't do what you're supposed to do. You were so caught up in what they were doing that it changed your behavior. And you should have lived with that Psalms 35:13 mindset, but as for me. I know they did this, but as for me. I know they said this, but as for me. I'm accountable to Jesus. I'm going to do what I've been called to do as a husband or as a wife, and the Lord will have to take care of them. But I'm not going to be bitter at them, trying to punish them for not giving me what I want in this relationship. Ooh, that's a strong, heavy word. But it'll make us free if we'll do it. Last verse, go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And there are some other scriptures I'm going to read to you in passing. And you can put these in your notes, but for time's sake, I'm going to just give them to you. Put these in your notes. Very, very powerful. All right. As you go to Romans 3, I want to read Hebrews 12:15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail by the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So bitterness will defile you and others. And Hebrews 12:15 says, bitterness will trouble you. Look at your neighbor and say, bitterness will trouble you. But we get bitter because we want them troubled. Isn't that right? We get bitter because we want them troubled. But the Bible says bitterness troubles you. Why in the world are you in such a bad mood today, girlfriend? Because let me just tell you, she's done went and done this again. Well, I saw her down the hall a while ago and she's grinning from ear to ear. So whatever she did, it's not bothering her. And you all mad at anybody, won't talk to nobody, won't eat today, we'll take out lunch. I'll just have some water. You're not going to eat? I can't eat. I can't eat. Well, why did you come to lunch with us today? To get away from her. Well, her, she's down at Olive Garden. And we at McDonald's on the dollar menu. So she's obviously not affected by you. And you're not eating and you're mad and it's wrecked your day over what she did, then why isn't she the one bothered if she did it? Isn't it amazing how we get entrapped in offense and we end up self-destructing over someone else and they're living free? And we think that they're really being punished by our old bad, ugly attitude. We're in a trap. Well, I'm not forgiving them. No way. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't like that preacher anyway. I just attend that church for the worship. Well, okay. You don't have to like me, but here's the thing. You saying I'm not going to forgive them because you want them punished. But what you're not realizing is you're the one being punished. It's not them. They're still living on. And they see you in your bad attitude, and you know what they're doing? They're saying, I know now we're not together. They don't care. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. You're the one punished. You have to choose to forgive so you can be free. All right, we got to wrap this up. Watch this. Romans 3, you're there. Verse 14. He says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. I hope that's not you. Hope you're not that bitter. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Look at here. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Who? The person full of bitterness. And the way of peace have they not known? You don't have peace because you're bitter. You say, but Pastor, I'm going to stay bitter until they get theirs. God will give them theirs. You've got to forgive and let God take care of them. You've got to be free. And here's some scriptures I want you to put in your notes, but I'm out of time. It's Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Get it out of your life. Romans 12, 17 through 21 teaches recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't do it. Don't get caught up in that evil with evil. Verse 19 goes on to say this, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And what I love about that statement, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And that verse is so key because it's like I said earlier, that verse is literally saying God is not going to judge because you keep judging. He says, verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 21. And then James 4, verses 11 and 12, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. He says, there's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Then James 5, 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Turn them over to Jesus. Pray they get saved. Hallelujah. Everybody say this out loud, but as for me. You let them folk go and start living, but as for me, this is what I'm going to do. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up any heart today that may have bitterness, unfulfilled expectation, offended individuals who are now bitter. Bitter at injury, bitter at injustice, bitter at their feelings being hurt or debts not being paid. God, I pray today that there would be a release, that we would all walk out of here saying, but as for me, that we would do what you've called us to do, that we would live as you've called us to live, that, Lord, you are our defense. You're the only true judge and lawgiver. Vengeance belongs to you, not us. You forgave us, we will forgive others. I pray today, God, that by your Spirit we would have a conviction that the only person that's being hurt by our unforgiveness and our bitterness is ourselves. We're aging ourselves prematurely. Anxiety disrupts the harmony of our vital organs. A person that's anxious lives in a mode of defense. It changes your heart rate. It causes your vital organs to maintain more blood than they should. Your circulation's not right. Because when you're anxious in your mind about a person, your body thinks you're in a fight. It's just like two boxers in a fighting ring. You'll notice they don't bleed very much when they're fighting. If you watch fights, you know there's not a lot of blood. But as soon as they sit down and the fight's over, then all of a sudden now these flesh wounds really start bleeding because the body begins to defend itself when it's been cut. It goes into defense mode. And when we get anxious about people, our mind literally thinks we're in a fight. And so our body and our vital organs start responding like you're in a fight, you're in combat. And that's why you have anxiety. That's why you're not sleeping. That's why your blood pressure's up. That's why your health is down. That's why your immune system is weak. You're breaking down over this gall of bitterness that's in you. You've got to forgive that person, let them go before they mess around and kill you. You be free today in Jesus' name. You be free today. I speak that over you. I declare freedom today in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.